the journey, often so consumed in just an external form that we often don't realize it's the internal changes that creates that outer circumstance, right? The external journey. And the thing to always, always, always remind yourself and remember is that it's never about the destination. It's who you have become along the way, the transformation of self. Like, that's the beauty in life, is through internal circumstances, through your internal choices, you direct your external world. Through your choice to go into the things about yourself, to get really, truly vulnerable with you. Because we have blocked, we have walled, we have sheltered, we have been programmed to omit and to disassociate with self because we have attached to the external world that has been presented to us by those that we were closely involved with in many circumstances, not just as children, because you are then continuously influenced as an adult, especially if you've been a people pleaser in the form of, I think, there's so many different forms of people pleasing that we don't even consider. There's the blatancy of people pleasing, of people that legitimately say sorry for every godforsaken thing when there's nothing to be sorry for, and then say yes to stuff that you could tell that no, they're always worrying about if somebody feels bad, and all this, like, it's always like, oh, how are you? How are you? How are you? And then there's simple people pleasing and decisions that you kind of shut out your power because what somebody else might feel. They could be intimidated by you. They might feel less of themselves by you. That's people pleasing. That's not embracing you fully. However, what is it? Part of the journey. And so for many of you along the journey, which is why it's a journey and not a destination, why you revisit things sometimes in a different perspective, in a different form, is to do just that, to transform. Because without the situations, without the circumstances, you can't become, you can't be, you can't even have the consciousness to recognize it in that moment. Only because of the past circumstances that you get to do that now. Because if you see life as a school, as a chosen choice, as a soul, energetic beam, light beam, whatever the fuck we are, we've chosen to learn. Or something has chosen us to learn, okay? Whether it was by choice or not, we're not going to get into that, okay? We might be a freaking robot. Whatever. We're evolving robots, okay? Like, as you see on the movies, they become and have a life of their own, right? And, like, sometimes go beyond what their systems had them do and feel and say and be. And you have that choice. So when you reframe the way that you see things, and that's what I've done for myself over the years, I have allowed myself to create the identities for me, even if other people don't use them. And I don't mean the societal norm identification, because that's more societal norm shit that actually creates disconnect, because usually people are screaming from the rooftops about what they need to say. Mine is more of the internal identity of self, and it's been very evolutionary, because the reality is, as majority of this existence in my almost 36 years here, I had no fucking clue who I was. I thought I did. I thought I knew who I was, but really I was wearing the face and the mask of other people, right? How often on this journey have you worn the face and the mask of other people? How often have you been living their life and their choices, helping them manifest into form instead of your own creation? And that's the journey, right? That's what okay, we're done here. Like, I mean, that really is. That's the journey of this. And when we're consumed in it, it can feel frustrating. When we're consumed in it, we're not optimistic about this being a school, of this being a learning environment. We inundate ourselves, and instead of growing in the internal journey, we're so focused and oblivious, as well as closed-minded and or stubborn to that internal world, that we're so focused on the outside of what's not there, what didn't go right, who said this, what they're said here, I can't believe they made that decision there, oh, that's so horrible there, that when you take that same energy and ask yourself, where in my life is there disruption of how I think about myself? Where in my life is there disruption and disease? Where in my life is there chaos? Where in my life is there suffering? Where in my life am I unsatisfied? Where in my life do I not feel like I have a voice? When you reframe and restructure it to the internal world, so much transformation occurs that just naturally the external world begins to change, because the persona, the suit, that particular frequency you had been wearing basically begins to dissipate and form without even you realizing it. Like, you naturally start to evolve. And I think that's the same thing as, like, people say, oh, it was like, quote unquote, overnight. And like the kid just grew up, but it's never just overnight. It really is a transitional thing, like small things. Like, I think about this all the time. So like, my son's 5, my daughter's 3, they both turned 3 and 5 in February. And I remember when Finley was 3 and lower, like, bedtime was a struggle. Now Finley at 5, bedtime isn't a struggle. He still, you know, likes to do the procrastination thing. I think it's a tot thing, or a little kid thing, because he's not a tot anymore. Because it's attachment and, you know, bonding and all this other jazz, and also just a kid thing. But when he was younger, I remember I had to sing 10 songs every single night, and then, like, just different things. And it felt like we did the same thing every single night, every single night, every single night, like the same thing. But like, I look back now at the times, like all the way back into my other house. So I was pregnant with my daughter, and I remember sitting in, we for a while had her, what was going to be in her nursery. After we bought it, we put it in his room, like a rocker. And I would sit in that chair with that kid and read the freaking Hungry Caterpillar book. Like, I don't even know how many months we read that thing. And then he had this little dog that was held onto his little pacifier that he was very attached to. He still carries that dog around. And he'd take the tail and he'd poke it in the holes of the book. Because if you're unfamiliar with the Hungry Caterpillar, it, like, you know, on Monday, ate an apple or whatever. Tuesday, had plums. I don't know actually the order of it. But anyway, this thing eats a whole bunch of shit. And in the book, there's holes. Well, he would, like, have to put the dog hole in it. You know, so, like, now when I look back and I'm like, those were just moments, Danielle. And sometimes, depending on what I felt like, I was like, oh, like, can you not have to shove the dog's tail in this thing? And it felt like an eternity, but it stopped. And then now he's so easy compared to what he once was for bedtime. But I still, if I'm living externally and not asking myself what internally is off when I do feel frustrated, what do I need? What am I lacking? What am I not facing is usually when I'm frustrated in the external environment, because the chaos can still go on with the kids, the needing water, 17 hugs, you know, a backflip, blow their nose, pee, whatever, you know how they are, to cover me up with a blanket, one more hug. Let's talk about breakfast. When I'm internally in peace, it doesn't matter what they're doing externally. Like, I'm cool. So when I'm not, and I'm being really frustrated, and then I feel like they're taking my time, then I have to ask myself, at what point in my time do I think that I'm losing? What do I think I'm losing right now? What do I think is a destination right now? And how can I change that? Because now my daughter, who's 3, she's the one that, instead of, it's like, 2 books, 2 songs, 3 books, 1 song, 1 song in the chair. You can't be standing up. This song, you're going to carry me like a baby and then put me in my bed and then sing Rockabye Baby. Like, she has very particular circumstances. And then if I turn the light off, then she's going to have a tantrum because she wants to turn the light off. And she'll go turn that light back on to look at me and turn the light back off and then climb back, you know, get back in her bed. So I have this long period, what feels like an eternity at times, with her to put her to bed. We're feeling, you know, we read a story, boom, he's in bed, hug, tickle, kiss, and he's good. See you tomorrow. And he has to tell me, like, love you, mom, 42 times, and then I'm done. And it's like, when we focus so much on thinking something so long, and kids are a great example. So sorry if you're not a parent. Oh, well, it's a large part of my existence now. But I mean, take a freaking dog. If you had a puppy, those things will shit and piss everywhere for a while, right? Well, kids are the same way, except usually they have a diaper on, occasionally it explodes out. And that's what my husband tells me all the time too, because it's a joke in the house of my kids have never, even when they were born, were not exactly like the most nappy type of children, especially my son. Sophie was a little bit better at napping than Finley, but nevertheless, TMI, but like, they go upstairs in their rooms and they're playing for Finley and Sophie time because they don't want to like lay in their beds. And so we're like, whatever. It gives us like an hour of just not having to deal with kids, and they're playing, or sometimes Sophie literally goes and lays in their bed. But nevertheless, usually both of them simultaneously, no matter what time of the day it is, 10:30 in the morning, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they both end up having to do number 2. And then I have to get called. finished, mom, because they need to get wiped. And then I'm always like, in the moment, I'll catch myself and I'm frustrated. And I'll start walking up the stairs. And if my husband's home from the firehouse that day, he'll say, you remember when you had to change diapers? You remember when it was like all over the place and you wanted so badly for them, just like, you knew she knew how to use the bathroom, but she wouldn't sit on the toilet. Like, you remember when he would still already be in underwear and then would hold it, you know? And he makes me remember what it once was, because we forget. We forget how much things have changed into exactly what we want them to be. I remember a time when I was building this house that I now live in. I remember before it started to get built, it was a far dream. I remember a time in my life where I never would have even have thought I could live in the house that I get to live in now, just because of where my mindset was. There was a time in my life with some of the things that I've done that, there was a time in my life I never thought I was going to be a mom. I am, of two kids, not even babies anymore. You know, I got one about to start kindergarten in August in school, like literally from now on, kid is in school. Unless, you know, I know there's homeschool options, but you know what I mean? Like he's a kid now. I can look at him, the little, you know how they're like toddy, kind of like I call them like chicken nuggets. Like everything's kind of short and nubby. well, they got like little fat rolls and stuff, because my kids were fucking huge as babies, like sumo wrestler children, especially my son. And he still has just this little faint like indentation in his thigh that had like a little thigh, you know, from his fat rolls from when he was a baby, but he's leaning out so much and he looks like a little boy. His little hands are still kind of like toddish, you know, the little nubby looking things, but he's getting taller and he's getting longer and he's getting leaner. And I just sit there and I will use the word make myself take a moment to take a breath to realize you used to cry on the floor when he was a baby waiting for him to get bigger. And I don't. If somebody's like, oh, see, you wish he was a baby. No, I don't. I actually still do not fucking want to go back in time. It was a hellacious period of growth. And to each their own with the children department. So, no, I don't wish I could go back in time. But it does allow me to take the moment now to appreciate it that much more. And not because, oh, all the time that's passed. I'm like, wow, all the time that's left. I said that to my mom. So it doesn't just go with little kids or because you are a mother or not, or a father or whatever, pop mom, pop dad. I told that to my mom because sometimes she'll say, and I know I've shared that with you, because my mom has been my biggest healing journey. I've been to therapists, so many, and every single one of them was always like, what? Why are you trying to save your mom? Why are you trying to? So mom issues was always the top tip of everything. And one day, a couple of times now, often actually, it wasn't just once, it's been numerous times now that she's like, I see this stuff now. I hear you now. Like, I wish I would have been able to know that then. I wish I would have been able to pause then or listen then. And I said, don't worry about that. I said, that'll help me become who I am today. And I think I'm pretty fucking amazing. I said, but we still have right now, however long that is. It could be a day. It could be a month. It could be 10 years. We don't know. But what we do know is we have this moment. And in this moment, I appreciate you. In this moment, I choose you. And so that's the beauty of the journey, of the inward journey versus the external journey, because there's two different things kind of going on. But the genuine purpose of life that you seek and you crave comes from you. And in the previous episode, not previous, but two episodes ago, episode 55, like with the pivoting and in your revelation of self, when you allow yourself again to see the beauty in circumstances and see the beauty in the journey that you are on, and realize often you have things that you once wanted, they're here. I wish I could just think this way. I wish I just know that way. And for how many of you, I guarantee you on here, God, I had so many clients that, oh, I just wish I had some gifts. I just wish I could do this. And then yet now you're intuitive and yet now you're still fucking unsatisfied. Cause I told you from the get go, it doesn't change anything. It's just like a necklace that you get to wear. It's like being trilingual. I mean, it doesn't change your life. That still is up to you. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. I know. Crazy, crazy. So, anywho, like, breathe, guys. Breathe. Like, it's a journey. No matter what position I ever hold, no matter how much I've ever made, I'm still learning. I am choosing to learn. I'm choosing to learn and let go. I'm choosing to let in. Sometimes I'm choosing to be. And instead of worrying about the achievement in the external world, I'm worrying about the internal validation I give myself. I'm worrying about how I feel about me. I'm focused on becoming so vulnerably naked with me and loving myself with absolutely not one thing, which is tricky. I'm still on that journey. That when you begin to see yourself, you become so rock solid to the external world, but it's not the walls that you once needed to break down. These are different types. These are the identity of who you are. This is the self-ownership of who you've always wanted to be, because you've been this person the entire time. It's like the little, like a little seed, and say this little seed is an oak tree. And it's just sitting there. And for the longest time, it doesn't look like this, but, or actually a live oak. I don't know if anybody is familiar with those. We have a good bit of them in Southern Louisiana, and we have some in my yard. They're young fledgling. So at no point do they have these like massive branches and the swooping branches and stuff. No, they're baby. Like they're babies. They're like 3 years old, I think, maybe four. Now compared to what they were, they're a lot bigger. And that's the thing, is if you have this little seed, right? For a long time, it can be just a seed. It can just be this sprout. It's like you got this huge piece of grass with this one little measly thing, and you can't run over the lawnmower because you're waiting for it to get big. But then from far away, it kind of looks like a weed. So then it's like, what is that thing? Oh, I wish it would get bigger. And then all of a sudden, like, you look, and then it's like, oh shit, like that thing got bigger. And which is what I was trying to say before, and I don't think I completed it. It's like the transition from toddler to teenager, or baby to all of a sudden they're a toddler, and then toddler, and now he's like a kid, you know, trying to add stuff and spell and crap and get to that letter. You know what I mean? Like we lose the present moment so often. And the refusal of being able to accept, not just fucking say it. You can say the shit all goddamn day long, but to believe, to feel, to accept, and to embody, I am right where I need to be. I am right where I need to be. I am learning to trust myself. That's what this whole journey is. Trust my judgment, trust my perception, trust my identity choices, trust my decision making, trust myself. Not worrying about what other people think. Is it the right move? Is it the right way? What happens if this happens? What happens if whatever? What does it fucking matters, right? You're on a journey. I am on a journey. The journey is realizing you. What you came here as a soul to experience as a human. So it's two sides. Two sides. And the crazy conundrum behind all of it is in the human form, it seems so physical, so dense, so external. When really the whole hidden meaning to the human journey is that it's in fact all internal. It's all reversed. It's all inside out. And this whole time we've been glancing at all these other things. When you see the beauty in the external world, it's just a reflection of the beauty that lies inside you. And you see the pain in the external world, because you can get to a point where you don't see pain, by the way. And then those that are completely consumed in a lower level of consciousness will look at you like you are a numb human. And in fact, you're not. because there's differences, you know, same thing I've told clients over the years. There's a difference between going, I don't care, versus like, whatever. I don't care what you say. You do care. You do care of, oh, I don't care. Like literally, hey, yo, whatever you want. I am so open and I am so free and I am so confident in my center of choice that like, dude, if you want a hamburger, I am down. If you want a salad, I am down. Because like, I like either one of those things and I would not feel like I lost out on something right now. So I don't care. Same thing of so what? Like, so what that that happened? It's cool. We get to do it again. So what that that didn't work out? Maybe that I believe that there's another door for me versus so what? I don't care what you think. Energetically, they contain two different forms. Emotionally, they contain two different forms, and one is external, one is internal. And whenever you focus on the inside, all the answers are there. All the cravings get filled. All the accomplishments are there because nothing is what has been as it seemed. It is such a simple, simple, simple life we actually desire. And we get bamboozled 400 times along the way. So at the end, remember, 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 it is not about the destination. It's not about the destination. It's who you become along the way, who you have become, who you've transformed into. That is the beauty of life.